all take new Zizol, use as directed.
Two Venezuelan opposition leaders in government custody after being arrested in the middle of the night, just days after a controversial election. Leopoldo Lopez and Antonio Lederma had been under house arrest before security officers took them from their homes. Lopez's wife posting a video on Twitter of it that appears to show him being put into a car marked with the name of the Venezuelan intelligence agency. A jazz guitarist has died. Guitarist and composer Chuck Loeb died last night due to complications of cancer. Loeb started out working for famed jazz saxophonist Stan Getz. He'd been working in contemporary jazz then for many years since, in his early career working with the group Steps Ahead and Metro. Lately, he was guitarist of the supergroup 4Play and also was part of the trio Jazz Funk Soul with keyboardist Jeff Lorber and sax man Everett Harp. Chuck Loeb was 61. And the National Night Out is tonight, sponsored by the National Association of Town Watch and local police departments. It aims to bring police and community members together under positive circumstances to foster understanding. And there are events planned nationwide. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. Hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom AmVets team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we're going to discuss the loss of 22 veterans a day to suicide with former AmVets National Commander Jim Pigeon. Then Air Force Master Sergeant Jake Richmond will share his great new novel, The Love of Fury. And I'll shoot the bull with a West Point classmate, Ken Bloomfield. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. We're proud to have the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact as studio sponsors. They do wonderful things for people with traumatic brain injury, specifically military veterans, professional athletes, and first responders. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to welcome back to the show Jim Pigeon. Jim's a former national commander of AmVets, and daily does 22 push-ups as a part of a movement to focus on the daily loss of 22 veterans to suicide. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Glad to be back, Danny.
Jim, let's start by your military career. You were in uniform for several years. What'd you do?
Yeah, I was a Navy flight deck troubleshooter. I was in the Navy from 69 to 73, and I served on board the USS Kitty Hawk in the Tonkin Gulf in 1972, and I was discharged honorably in 73.
And then you got involved with AMVETS. What was your attraction there? How did you end up there?
Well, my father-in-law actually signed me up in the early 80s, and I stayed away from it for a long time, running my businesses and getting everything set up here. But when I got involved with it in probably late 80s on the post level, I just loved the idea of helping veterans and serving my fellow brothers and sisters.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me, and I really, really am attracted to the idea that everybody can serve. You don't have to have been wounded or served overseas or served during combat. If you are willing to serve, whether or not you were moved, used, deployed or not, you're my brother or sister in arms. That's my great attraction.
Yeah, and of course, AMBITS allows everybody to come in. We all belong to DAV and Legion and VFW, too, but American veterans will allow Coasties to come in. It'll allow, you don't have to serve in a combat zone, just like you said. You know, we take just about everybody who wants to come in. We want to serve them all.
Let's talk about veteran suicide. Jim, I know that's something that's had your attention as long as we've known each other. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I'm actually a suicide prevention suicide survivor myself. My father committed suicide not long after I came home from Vietnam, and I held a grudge about that for many years. I was angry about that and kind of ashamed to even talk about it and how it could have happened to my family. And as I became involved in AMVETS and stuff, eventually I decided that was going to be my passion. I actually wrote a song back in 2012 called 22 Every Day, where I'd actually mentioned the word suicide, which I had never had done prior. And it's been my goal to try to eliminate and raise awareness to everybody out in the public out there. Back in 2012, nobody had heard of us talking about the suicide thing. Now we're kind of got their ears. And so it's important to me that we stay out there and do something every day. And hence I do 22 push-ups every day. And I put a post on my Facebook page, and today is 511. So that's, 11,000 and change push-ups I've been doing. And we have a lot of people following us. We've had a lot of people jump on board with us, a lot of celebrities who are doing push-ups, a lot of veterans, a lot of non-veterans. And it's I'm really impressed with some of the contacts we are starting to get now. We're really making some progress.
And what this does is raise the awareness of everybody to include possible suicide, what do you call them, victims, committers, people who are considering committing suicide.
It gets their attention. We have saves every day. We have people contacts, and we've had disasters, too.
Sure.
I had a disaster early, and it was in day 300 and something as an AMBETS national commander, and a young Army gentleman from Kentucky came on my Facebook page and said, Commander, I'm your number one today. So I didn't know what that meant. You know, I was still asleep out here on the California side, and Jesus, he had committed suicide in his driveway. So it's starting to touch us all personally. We really need to be involved in this, and it's a national tragedy. And I'm going to keep doing this as long as I can do push-ups, as long as I can raise awareness. I'm going to keep after this fight. The battle must continue. We cannot allow this to continue.
I totally agree with that. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing veteran suicides with Jim Pidgeon, the former national commander of AMVETS. So, Jim, it's raising awareness. That's important. But the key point to me you just made is you're getting some positives out of it. It's working. Something's happening.
We're getting saves on a daily basis. We get saves, and that is very important. You know, as a national commander, I got to testify on the Hill to the Veterans Affairs Committee, and I was the first one to ever mention that to them, and we got some great response. And the following my successor, Commander Chapman, when he went to testify on the Hill this year, and I was in attendance, 22 every day on the suicide prevention was number one on the agenda. And that's virtually all everybody talked about. So we are making a difference, despite what a lot of people think. We are making a difference. The fundraising has not been there. Nobody seems to want to donate a lot of money to us. But I'm okay with that if we can just raise awareness and we can get this thing stopped.
Talk to me about how you think it works. If I were a vet who was considering suicide, how does the 22 push-up thing affect me?
You can contact us directly. We have a 1-800 number, the crisis line that everybody knows about, you know, the 1-800-273-8255, and press 1. You'll get on that crisis hotline, and somebody is going to talk to you. Now, there's been nightmares in the past, and I testified on the Hill about some of the problems with the emergency hotline back in the day when you would actually call on it and nobody would answer it, or they would put you on hold. So some of those stories, you know, that we've made giant improvements with that. And the way we have done that is by doing this 22 push-up and getting in everybody's face and bringing awareness to the problem. We are making a difference. It has not been fast as everybody wants it to do. If just one veteran dies every day, of course, we know that's just one too many. And the number 22, you know, nobody knows exactly what that number is in the first place. You know? And we realize that it's probably a lot higher than that.
Yes.
Many states, including my state of California, has more veterans than any other state in the nation. We don't even report. And we're pushing legislation AB 242 in the House here in California. We've got that through the House. Now we get it through the Senate. We're trying to get that passed. So when there is a suicide, they note it. And that's a big issue. I can't understand why that's a problem. We shouldn't even be dealing with that. That should be a given.
So, Jim, let's encourage listeners right now. If this is something you want to become a part of, you don't need anybody's permission to do 22 push-ups every day. And they don't even have to be really good ones. A drill sergeant doesn't have to approve them, do they?
No, they do not. They don't even have to do a push-up. They can just like and share if somebody else is doing one. That's enough. Get the word out. Spread the word. You don't have to do a push-up. But share one. When you see them on the Facebook page, and there's literally hundreds of them coming up daily, click on and share one. And if you can do a push-up, we would be honored to join you.
And doing push-ups is really good for you. Despite, you know,
yeah, that's what they tell me.
Well, every drill sergeant I've ever known has told me that was the solution to everything.
And I like to give credit to Jerry Guevara. He was my partner back in the day, and we lost Jerry a couple of years ago. And that was his idea to do something in 22 form, you know. And we've been doing it since 2012. You know, we developed the 22 Everyday Push-Up Program, and here we are today. We're making a difference, but, gosh, we need some more help.
One more time, what's that emergency number that a veteran can call if he or she is playing with suicide?
Okay, it's 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. And somebody is going to get to you and talk to you. And don't be ashamed. You know, PTS is not, it's not a sickness.
No.
You're honored. You're honored to have that. And we want to help you. We want to get you through this issue. Get hundreds and hundreds of people man these hotlines, and they all have the same goal.
Jim, thank you. This may be one of the more important interviews I do for a while. Thank you for taking time to join us today. God bless you, brother. I look forward to seeing you at the National Convention next month.
I'm honored to be here and honored to serve veterans and their family. Thank you.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, we'll discuss Jake Richmond's great novel, The Love of Fury. It's really something. Then I'll shoot the bull with a very interesting guy who happens to be one of my West Point classmates. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Hit the deck and do an easy, slow 50 sit-ups, holding a 50-pound weight behind your head. Let's build that six-pack. I'll be right back. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
When I adopted her, she was a mess. Scabs, itching, licking, missing fur, hot spots, a thin, dull coat. So I take the dog to the vet for the standard run-of-the-mill tests and treatments. No results. I hear your advertisement on the radio.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
So I get the 5-pound box of Dynavite and the Lico Chops within a 4-week total. Instead of a German Shedder, I have a German Shepherd. Sheba is 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life because she gets fed Dynavite. And the results, they're just incredibly outstanding. And she loves it. When you rescue a dog, You have to do the right thing. You've got to feed them right for life. Do the Dynavite. Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite .com.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. AMVETS is the premier veteran service organization in America. Every person who has served honorably in our military, active guard or reserves, is welcome to join me as an AMVET. Find out more at AMVETS.org. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show an Air Force guy and a great author, Jacob Richmond. His novel, The Love of Fury, is one of the best I've ever read. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Jake.
Thank you, Colonel. Those are some kind words, man. I really appreciate that.
Well, I like the book. Jake, I think you are an active duty Master Sergeant guy in public affairs for the Air Force right now. Am I right?
You are correct.
Tell us about your Air Force career. How long you've been in and what else did you have done?
So I joined back in 2000 and I joined because I wasn't going anywhere with my civilian life when I was 18. And I actually joined Open General. And the Air Force put me in the weather forecasting career field originally, and I had no idea what the hell that was about. Luckily, that's where I met my wife, but I was at Keesler for training. My first assignment as a weather guy was in Sembach Air Base, Germany, traveled around Europe for a couple years. I got married after that assignment and then went to Offutt Air Force Base, Nebraska, and I was about to get out of the Air Force then, but had an opportunity to stay in and retrain into a career that I wanted originally, which was public affairs. My dad is a retired public affairs officer, former enlisted officer, and I got lucky. I got to go to my home state, which is Arizona, and join a career field I wanted to get into. So that was in 06. Since then, I had an assignment at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, Arizona, and then I got selected for duty with the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds. I spent 4 years doing that, public affairs for the Thunderbirds, which was a career highlight for sure, at Nellis Air Force Base, Nevada. And now I'm at Fort Meade, Maryland. I work for Defense Media Activity, which is kind of like the headquarters for DOD Public Affairs.
By the way, is that novel at all autobiographical?
It is a little bit. It's, you know, not a lot. But when I first embarked on the idea of writing a book, it actually I've always wanted to write, but I never thought I could actually write real fiction when I was younger. It just, I didn't consider myself someone who could create something out of nothing. I was always really good at editing and tweaking and, you know, doing all that, the second stage of the creative process. But I realized I had never really tried the first stage of the creative process. So this book and the story for this book started in my brain probably like 6 years ago. And I just kept thinking about it until one day while I was stationed at Nellis with the Thunderbirds, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to sit down, clear my head, and see if I can come up with a story. And I knew that if I was going to come up with a story, I had to borrow from my own experience as much as possible so that, you know, kept my brain firing on all cylinders and would also eliminate a lot of the research need that I know comes with any good fiction novel. So I sat down and Denny, like literally 30 minutes later, I was writing feverishly an outline for a story. And a lot of it, especially the settings and the processes and those things, I was able to cull from my experience, which I'm definitely glad about.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're talking with Air Force Master Sergeant Jacob Richmond about his great novel, Love of Fury. Okay, you just told us why you decided to write it. You just figured it was time. Jake, talk us through the main character and the storyline. Give the listeners a taste of what this book is about.
Sure. From the beginning, I wanted to write about something important, and I wanted the reader of this story to understand sort of a glimpse of what I got when I deployed to Iraq and was able to see into the lives and the culture of the other, basically, people we think about a lot in America but don't have any way of relating to. And that was probably the best part of my deployment in 2009, just getting to know some Iraqi people and hearing their stories and telling some of their stories and just seeing how that culture propagates in its home world. And so the book, what I wanted to do was I wanted to tell a parallel story between two protagonists, both of whom have very different outlooks on the world, shaped by very different circumstances, but also what we have in common is pretty evident throughout the story. So it follows two characters. Mostly it follows an American airman named Percy. You'll find out early, it's not a spoiler, but in the prologue, he encounters some tragedy in his life as a young 10-year-old kid. And pretty quickly, the story switches over to the other protagonist, who is a young Lebanese Muslim boy who encounters some very similar tragedy in his life at the same exact age. Throughout the book, you get the impression that they're almost exactly the same age, just, you know, living their lives in different parts of the world with different sensibilities. So they each end up with ambitions in life that are, you know, largely based on the tragedies and childhood experiences they had. And because their experiences happen in different parts of the world, their ambitions are just as strong, but, you know, have competing interests. And eventually, Percy and Rafiq, the Lebanese Muslim kid, who happens to be the son of a very prominent terrorist, Rafiq and Percy end up meeting in a dramatic turn of events. And that's fairly early in the book that they get to that point, and it continues from there.
It is, and it's an incredible, it's not intuitively from the beginning, but you suddenly realize that here are two young men, as you've described, who had some similar experiences, and both are basically men of honor.
Yeah.
From incredibly different backgrounds, clashing backgrounds. But
that's a really interesting way to put it. I'm glad you found it that way, to describe them both as men of honor. I mean, when you get to know Rafiq and where he comes from and what is coloring his mindset, it's rough stuff, and it totally clashes with not just Percy's mindset, but, you know, the mindset of you and me and most Americans. And yet I was trying to paint him as an honorable man in his own way.
And I think you succeeded. Jeff, we could talk forever, but
This is an excellent book. And by the way, troops, I'm going to give away a copy of this at the end of the show. How can people buy a copy? I presume it's available on Amazon and other places?
It is available on Amazon. You can go to Amazon, just search The Love of Fury. And again, my name is Jacob Allen Richmond. And I hope everybody likes it as much as the Colonel here did.
Well, I certainly did. Thank you again, Jacob, for taking time to join us today. Thank you for writing such an excellent book. I hope this is the first of several. And thank you for your service to our nation. It's an honor to call you brother.
Denny, thank you. I also enjoyed your book as well, The Smiling Ranger. I've been picking at that one. But most of all, thank you for your service. I respect the hell out of any ranger I've ever met. And you are right. This is the first of three. So I'm already starting on book two, and I've got books two and three already outlined, and it's called the World of Fury trilogy.
Well, pull my chain when they're ready. I will. Thank you again, Jacob. Coming up next on Frontline's Freedom, I'll shoot the bull with an Army veteran, and then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops do 20 pull-ups, all the way up and all the way down, nice and slow, then take a break and do 20 more, then stand at ease, but stay in the area. Spartan Nash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember. As a national partner with Honor and Remember, Spartan Nash is deeply committed to never forgetting those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country.
The flag serves as a symbol of remembrance, and Spartan Nash flies the Honor and Remember flag at all of our facilities. The flag artwork is on our fleet of tractor trailers, which travel 50 million miles each year.
Learn more at honorandremember.org.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, AmVet's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country. AmVet's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AmVet's helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AmVet service officer or to learn more, visit amvets.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There has been no comment from the Trump administration about a newspaper report that claims President Trump dictated his son Donald Trump Jr.'s statement about meeting with a Russian lawyer. But a Senate Republican is talking about it, as we hear from correspondent Joe Gomez.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham tells NBC's Today Show that if the report is true, President Trump told Donald Trump Jr. what to write about a meeting with a Russian attorney, it puts his son in jeopardy.
Now we have to wonder about what Don Jr.'s team will tell you about what he actually did.
The Washington Post reported that Trump dictated this statement to Trump Jr. while flying back to the U.S. from the G20 summit in Germany.
Vice President Mike Pence says President Trump is going to sign a new Russia sanctions measure. Pence comments as he's traveling in the Republic of Georgia, saying Russia's got to change course. This is USA Radio News.
Things are just better when they're doubled, like double the value and double the savings. That's what you get right now from OvationHair.com. Ovation cell therapy hair and scalp treatment, clinically proven to repair damage, reduce breakage, and restore your hair to its former glory. Thicker, stronger, longer, healthier hair. Guaranteed or your money back. Right now, get double the value with Ovation's limited edition summer essentials set. Everything you need for eye-catching, healthy summer hair. Specially priced to save you over 50%. That's double the value while supplies last. New customers get the Summer Essentials set or anything else from Ovation and double your introductory discount. That's double the savings. Hurry to OvationHair.com and select USA Radio News at checkout. That's OvationHair.com. For a limited time, Ovation is doubling your introductory discount. Select USA Radio News at checkout. Hurry, these doubly delightful deals end soon.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. AMVETS is the premier veteran service organization in America. Every person who has served honorably in our military, active guard or reserves, is welcome to join me as an AMVET. Find more at amvets.org. It's a pleasure now to welcome to the show and shoot the bull with a West Point classmate, Ken Bloomfield. Welcome aboard, Ken.
Thank you very much, Danny.
Ken, let's start with West Point. Why did you want to go there?
Well, I had several uncles that were in World War II, and I envied them when I was growing up.
So ultimately you found out, you applied, did you make it your first attempt?
I did not. It took me another attempt to pass the exam, and then I was in. I got the letter, and I said, I can't believe this.
It took me 3 years, so you beat me by one. What did you do as a cadet? Sit around and obey the rules all the time?
Yeah, pretty much so. I was your model cadet.
Yeah, right.
No, we did a lot of things, and one of the things I was the hop manager for our company.
And that's the cadet dances.
Cadet dances, yeah. And I had to go to dancing class.
Ah.
Plebes, and
yes.
I don't think I passed any of that. And they made me hop manager, I think, so I didn't have to go out and dance. I could walk around and make sure everybody was doing the right thing.
Ah, the good old days.
Oh, yeah. I remember those well.
And you, when you graduated, you picked infantry just like I did.
I was infantry by choice, yes.
And airborne and ranger school at Fort Beginning, Georgia?
Done. Done and done, yes.
Where'd you go then?
I went to a mechanized infantry battalion in Neu-Ulm, Germany.
Neu-Ulm, no, well.
Oh,
what,
nice.
What language did you study in at school?
French.
Ah.
And asked me what I got turned out in French, which means what did you fail at the academy? And I was turned out, which means you have to take a final exam, plebe year. So that was the extent of my language studies. When we went our AOT, Army Officers Training in Europe.
During our cadet life.
Yeah, during our cadet life. I was in Paris, and I went in to buy something in a store, and I said in my best French what I wanted to do. And the lady says in perfect English, oh, you're just beginning to learn French. And it was 2 years I had finished already. So.
Well, I did that too. And one of my classmates that I was traveling with, like you, studied French. And we went in somewhere in Paris, and he ordered whatever. And he got this sort of sneer kind of response. And that's when we learned out that Parisians not only expect you to speak French, they expect you to speak French like a Parisian or they won't talk to you.
Yeah. Well, I was there on AOT. We were traveling around. One of our classmates, who is now deceased, and he spoke Portuguese, or he studied Portuguese. So we said, well, let's take a train from Paris down to Barcelona, Spain, and I'll be able to speak down there. So we take the train, go all the way down to Barcelona or Madrid, one of the two. And he said, we got off, and he said, I don't like this. Let's go back to Paris. So he said, I'll get the tickets because I speak Portuguese. These are Spanish people. So he gets the tickets. We get on the train, and he got us tickets on a refugee train where all of the French people were being kicked out of Libya in northern Africa. So we had seats that were standing room only in between cars with all these guys wearing robes and big knives. And they had some wine, and they were passing around, and you had to drink it with your thumb over the end of the bottle. And try that on a moving train. So they got a big kick out of that. But it was a real experience doing that kind of thing.
You know, I believe that absolutely. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and I'm shooting the bull with my West Point classmate Ken Bloomfield. Ken, your first tour in Vietnam was with the 1st Infantry Division, a little bit later than me, but mine was in the 1st ID, too. What'd you do there?
Well, I went over with a unit on a ship, and we were all the Delta companies for...
Oh, yeah. The Army was adding a fourth company to rifle battalions.
So we were it. So I got there, and I should have been automatically the company commander of a Delta company. But there was one... officer that had extended, so he took over the company for a while, and then the colonel told me, oh, you go out on sweeps and just get oriented. So the first sweep I went out on, I got heat exhaustion, came back, had to have saline plugged into me, and was laid out in a cool tent and this kind of stuff. And the colonel came over and said, well, tomorrow morning, do you think he can handle Delta Company? And so I did. I did that. And he said, by the way, the first sergeant's tough down there. The first sergeant was my uncle, believe it or not.
Wow.
First Sergeant John R. Bloomfield. And he had been in the Korean War, stationed in Fort Ord. I arrived at Fort Lewis, gave him a call, and he said, get me orders. I'm going with you. I said, Top, how can I do that? I'm just a lowly captain. He said, call me back Monday. So I called. That was on a Friday. I called him back Monday, and he said, okay, I'll be there Wednesday. He called the sergeant major of the Army, who he knew, and got his orders, and there we were.
Hey, and the sergeant major of the Army that time was the division sergeant major of the 1st Infantry Division when I was in the 1st Infantry Division.
Oh, how about that?
So that's probably how that all worked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they all knew each other.
Yep, there is no doubt about that. So how long did you stay in Mother Army?
I stayed in until the 3rd of June, 1970, and from there I went into the financial world. My first job was with Ross Perot at Electronic Data Systems, EDS, and went out to Dallas and went to the proper schools and learned how to wear white shirts and ties and that type of thing. And then... I was assigned to San Francisco, which I thought, oh, this is great. So I'm out there for about 4 or 5 months, and I get a call that says Ross Perot has just bought a brokerage firm in New York City, and they want everybody out there helping out. It'll be just for a couple months. So I did that, went back to New York City, thought it was great, worked there for well, I guess it was 3 or 4 months, and my wife kept saying, you know, all our stuff is back in San Francisco. So I went to the manager, and I said, you know, I have to go back to San Francisco. And he said, you go back, you find a new job. Your job is here now. So I had to go back out there and move all our stuff after we just moved it there 3 or 4 months earlier, and ended up in New York City.
So what are you doing now? You're fully retired now?
I am fully retired.
And that does not mean you don't do anything. You obviously, you own some property, you do some gardening, that sort of stuff.
Yes, yes. But I live in Virginia, King William, Virginia. It's a rural area. We have 8 acres, mostly woods, but a lot of grass. And so I do the grass on my John Deere riding lawnmower, wearing my John Deere hat.
Hey, there you go.
And we garden. We have quite a few different things that that we're growing this year. Some bird nest gourds, some ornamental pumpkins, tomato plants, parsley, tobacco. I actually am growing tobacco just to see how that works.
Hey, you know, you ought to try pot. There might be a future.
Yeah.
If you do, maybe I can come visit you in jail.
Yeah, you could do that.
Ken, we're out of time. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. It was fun.
That it was. I really enjoyed it, Dan.
And I'll conclude with
much.
Beat Navy.
Beat Navy.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. Troops, you've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, get some good weight, say 75 pounds, and do a couple of dozen curls. Let's build those biceps and triceps, then stand at ease. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. The Eisenhower Center and their After the Impact program really help our troops who are suffering from traumatic brain injury. Any vet with this problem should check this program. Money is not an issue here. These folks really want to help our injured vets. Check EisenhowerCenter.com. Okay, team, let's open the mailbag. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's first?
Bill from Maryland wrote that he really appreciates the show and the newsletter. He really appreciates your clear support for law enforcement officers.
Bill, thank you. I've got a great team, and we try very hard to present insights the media doesn't cover, and we definitely support our police.
Lois is an Army vet and appreciates the show. She's wondering why you don't have a female on your team. Lois emphasizes that she is glad we're not politically correct, but women do have something unique to add.
Lois, you are right on. Indeed, I have just recruited a female Army vet to be a contributor to the show. We'll be introducing her soon. Well, you know, troops, before we get to military history, I was thinking about our time at Norfolk, Virginia. You see, I'll be going to Norfolk next week for the AMVETS National Convention. Well, the Armed Forces Staff College is there, and I was there as a student in the mid-70s. As the Armed Forces Staff College was adjacent to the U.S. Navy base at Norfolk, on one occasion our class was given a tour of a submarine that had just come into port. It was one of the most modern nuclear subs in our Navy. As it turns out, one of our classmates was an exchange officer from the British Navy, and he'd just come from commanding the sister ship of this sub. You know, we do sell our stuff to the British. However, he was not allowed to go on the boat because he didn't have a U.S. security clearance. We were all pretty sure the real reason was that we don't provide the British with all our secret stuff, and he'd recognize what was missing. Either way, it was a fun tour, and he didn't go.
Colonel, I don't think I've told you this before, but I came this close to joining the Navy as a submariner. There was only just one small thing that stopped me.
You didn't like being underwater?
It was the ocean in general. I'm scared to death of the ocean, the sharks, its bigness, and I don't swim that well.
But submariners aren't supposed to swim. They're supposed to stay in their submarine under the water.
Well, yeah, and if it sinks, it doesn't matter.
Good point. Okay, it's time for military history. Lead out, bud.
On 9 August 1945, a second atom bomb is dropped on Japan by the U.S. at Nagasaki, resulting finally in Japan's unconditional surrender. The devastation wrought at Hiroshima, which was bombed 3 days earlier, was not sufficient to convince the Japanese War Council to accept the Potsdam Conference's demand for unconditional surrender. The U.S. had already planned to drop their second atom bomb, nicknamed Fat Man, on August 11 in the event of such recalcitrance. But bad weather expected for that day pushed the date up to August 9th. So, at 1:56 a.m., a specially adapted B-29 bomber called Boxcar, after its usual commander, Frederick Bach, took off from Tinan Island under the command of Major Charles Sweeney. Nagasaki was a shipbuilding center, the very industry intended for destruction. The bomb was dropped at 11:02 a.m., 1,650 feet above the city. The explosion unleashed the equivalent force of 22,000 tons of TNT. The hills that surrounded the city did a better job of containing the destructive force, but the number killed is estimated at anywhere between 60 and 80,000. Exact figures are impossible, the blast having obliterated bodies and disintegrated records. General Leslie Groves, the man responsible for organizing the Manhattan Project, which solved the problem of producing and delivering the nuclear explosion, estimated that another atom bomb would be ready to use against Japan by August 17 or 18, but it was not necessary. Even though the Japanese War Council still remained divided, they said, "It is far too early to say that the war is lost," opined the Minister of War. Emperor Hirohito, by request of two War Council members eager to end the war, met with the council and declared that continuing the war can only result in the annihilation of the Japanese people. The Emperor of Japan gave his permission for unconditional surrender. This surrender ended World War II.
It was a heck of a war, and that was the end of it. Germany had surrendered in May. This is in August, and it was over. When they surrendered, people could go home.
It's funny how one war is just like the entrance to a new war. From that moment on, it was the Cold War.
Yep, and it got a little warm during the Korean War, which was part of the Cold War. Well, that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for our Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Justifiable self-defense. That's how Oklahoma officials have described a triple shooting by a 22-year-old who used an AR-15-style rifle to kill three intruders who broke into his home. The young man was asleep when the three strangers, all clad in black, broke into the house. After being awakened by noises made during the break-in, the resident grabbed his semi-automatic rifle. Seeing the intruders, whose faces were covered with masks, the armed citizen fired, killing two of the suspects on the spot. The third ran away but died in the driveway. After the young man shot the home invaders, he barricaded himself in his room and called 911. When the police arrived, they discovered that one of the troublemakers was armed with a knife, while still a second had a pair of brass knuckles. A week-long investigation led officials to determine the shooter apparently was in fear for his life when he shot. Thus, he was protected under Oklahoma's Stand Your Ground law. A woman has since been arrested and charged with planning the burglary.
Thanks, Colonel. This story is a great example of why civilians call the AR-15 a force multiplier. The homeowner, though outnumbered 3-1, was still able to stand his ground and successfully fight off the intruders. That's what a 30-round magazine will do for you with bullets that travel at 3,000-plus feet per second. If you look at a ballistics chart, you'll see that something special happens when a piece of lead exceeds 3,000 feet per second. It's called hydrostatic shock. If you want to see a good visual representation of that, just log on to YouTube.com and do a search on prairie dog hunting in Kansas. But I have to warn you, it's graphic. When a handgun bullet travels through a body at 1,000 feet per second, it causes a primary wound channel. But when a high-powered rifle bullet travels through a liquid-based object, such as a human, it creates a primary wound channel, but also sends shock waves through the body, creating a secondary wound channel, resulting in massive tissue damage and blood loss. It can also disrupt the central nervous system and cause the home invader to expire even before they have a chance to die from blood loss. When you're facing three invaders, you want max firepower and lots of kinetic energy. That's the strength of the AR-15 platform. It puts down the invaders quickly at close range, allowing you to even the odds. Some people say that 30 rounds are excessive. But Colonel, I have never seen anyone come out of a firefight saying, "Gosh, I just wish I'd had less ammo."
You know, that makes a huge amount of sense. I've never once in a firefight regretted the ammunition that I had. Sometimes I didn't need it all, but I was sure glad I was there.
It just gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling inside.
Well, I've always wanted to come out of firefights alive and preferably unwounded.
That's right.
Our book giveaway this week is Jake Richmond's The Love of Fury. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com and put The Love of Fury in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Admiral Paul Zumkuft, the commandant of our Coast Guard, will join us. He'll be making a significant announcement. We'll also talk to retired Navy Captain Joe John about the threat to our nation that is CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. And co-host Quentin Roberts and I will discuss the Service Academy football season that's about upon us. Troops, if you are a vet you know needs help finding a job, there's real help available. Go to the AMVETS Career Center. Find it at amvets.org.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And a few of your friends at Guard, KP, or other duties that force you to miss any part of this show. Hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
Is a 105 lean pounds of happy dog for life because she gets fed Dynavite and Lico Chops.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of Lico Chops free.
New, improved Lico Chops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E.
And now 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try Lico Chops
free this week at Dynavite.com.
Dinovite.com.
This report is brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association. 35% of dementia cases worldwide could be preventable by addressing lifestyle factors, according to a new report at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference in London. The Lancet Commission says these factors include high blood pressure, obesity, smoking, depression, and diabetes. For the first time, their report included hearing loss and social isolation among the dementia risk factors. Dr. James Hendricks is Director of Global Science Initiatives at the Alzheimer's Association.
This report is very hopeful. Many people have the potential to reduce their risk of cognitive decline through simple, healthful behavioral changes. At a public health level, interventions based on this evidence could be extremely powerful in managing the global costs of Alzheimer's and other dementias.
According to the study authors, by managing modifiable risk factors at all stages of life, it may be possible to reduce new cases of dementia by 9 million people by 2050. For more information, visit ALZ.org.
Cool. There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Visit discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Rich Strong.
We obviously need to confirm an FBI director.
There is scant time left before the Senate goes to summer recess August 11th. So Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is focusing on what can get done.
I would hope that with all the threats facing us at home and abroad, our Democratic colleagues would not launch the first filibuster of a nominee to be FBI director, especially one who was reported out of the Judiciary Committee by a vote of 20-0.
There appears to be little appetite in the Senate to take another shot at health care reform, especially because House members are off on their own summer recess until September 5th. Vice President Mike Pence says President Trump will sign a new Russia sanctions measure. Pence's comments come as he's traveling in the Republic of Georgia. He says Russia must change course. This is USA Radio News.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE, now available in Montana. Call 855-90-BIBLE.
An ethics watchdog group is pushing for a congressional probe into former DNC chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Joe Gomez has that story.
The Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust, a right-leaning watchdog group, is requesting the Office of Congressional Ethics launch an investigation into what the nonprofit says is Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz's apparent breach of House rules for keeping Imran Awan on her payroll after he was blocked from accessing the House IT system earlier this year. Awan and several of his relatives have been the focus of a criminal investigation involving an equipment and data scam on Capitol Hill. Awan was ultimately fired by Wasserman Schultz last week after being arrested on one count of bank fraud while trying to leave the United States for Pakistan. Joe Gomez, Washington.
Very tragic end to a very tragic situation here.
A woman and two children found dead in an apparent accident in Virginia. Their three bodies found in an overturned car in a nearby creek by a family member who was searching for them. This is USA Radio News.
Attention all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty. Because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. That's 888-827-7549. Call 888-827-7549.
A former candidate for president believes the time is now to work on a single-payer health care plan. USA Radio's Tim Berg has more.
With no health care bill on the horizon on the Republican side of the aisle, former presidential candidate and senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders, explained why he feels a single-payer plan is the best way to go.
A single-payer health care system, in my view, and according to studies that I have seen, would save the average family significant sums of money.
Sanders also talks about how a single-payer plan would eliminate all the red tape.
It takes an enormous amount of time, energy, and expense to figure out that you have a $5,000 deductible, you have a $10,000 deductible.
Worth noting, a single-payer health care plan did fail on the state level in